And what I'm going to do is close everybody down for background noise. So that the recording's got some quality to it. I welcome questions and welcome interruptions and welcome participation. So when you want to talk, press star 7 to talk, or press star 2 if you want to get my attention, and then I'll open you up to talk. But in the meantime, everybody's closed off. I'm going to go straight into our lesson for today. Excuse me. So who wants to put their hand up to go first? I thought that might, putting a hand up for someone to go first might work best, and then we'll do some group work. Don't all yell at once. If you don't put your hand up, I'm going to volunteer you. Okay, who am I going to volunteer? And press star 2 to volunteer. Maybe if I'd see that. There's a little keypad. Okay. This is not what I expected to be doing, but I'm going to open you up, Paul. Aha.
Oh, I'm volunteering. Oh, I see.
Just because the only thing you know about our work here is what Anarchy's told you. So you're kind of newer to the work than anyone else.
Yeah, it's completely new.
Yeah, oh, completely new. That's even better.
No, okay. Well, Anarchy has told me a lot about it, of course, but well.
Yeah.
Do I have any questions at this moment? I'm just listening in until now.
Okay. So do you feel comfortable if I guide you through the foundation for a good riding seat?
Yes, I will feel comfortable about that. Yes, of course. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent.
I understood that will be the issue of today, yes?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so take your attention to your outward breath. And if I use Australian slang that is not familiar with you, familiar to you, then poke at me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remind me.
It means raise a hand, yes.
Yeah. Let me know that I've said something that you don't understand. So pay gentle attention to your outward breath, and everybody else can actually join in with this. So by paying attention to our outward breath, we notice the way our body moves as we breathe out. And you'll notice that your ribs actually kind of squash inwards a little bit to squash that last little bit of air out of your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while you're just paying attention to your outward breath, I'll just check what kind of a chair you're sitting in. What kind of chair are you sitting in?
Oh, you're asking me. Oh, it's a straight chair, just upright, just
excellent.
Like you ordered. Yeah.
Ah, excellent. What you can do is turn it so that you're facing the back of it. So you're sitting on the back of the front.
I see what you mean, yes.
Mm-hmm. You don't all have to do it like that, but this will help Paul feel what I'm going to get him to feel.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if you just bring your hands up Just at the same height that you would hold your reins, and just lightly hold the back of the chair.
Uh-huh. Back along that, yes.
So paying gentle attention to your outward breath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is good. I can feel you well. I'm just feeling how best Okay, notice the way the lower part of your ribs just squashes that last little bit of air from your lungs. And allow your attention to wander over your whole body while still having half an eye on your outward breath. Just let your attention expand into awareness of the whole of your body, what everything feels like. Okay, there's a small curvature in the middle of your spine where you've kind of, I'm just trying to find the right expression for it. Can you see it, Aniki? It's right in the middle of his back and it kind of brings his shoulders forwards a fraction. Actually, let me open you up for a second, Aniki. Can you see that, Aniki?
I didn't understand.
Hang on, I'll close Paul down for a second so we don't have the echo. Right in the middle of Paul's back, there is a slight curving of the spine, and it brings his shoulders forwards a little bit. Can you see that with your eyes?
I'm sitting opposite him, so no.
Ah.
She has to
walk around.
I can't really see it from here.
Okay, so walk around and have a look. And in the meantime, I'll come back to Paul.
Okay.
So, Paul, I want you to take your attention to the middle of your back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I got that.
And
she's looking for my curvature. Did you find it?
I can't hear it when I'm behind Paul because then the sound is away.
You need my earpieces.
Okay. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter because I can feel it. But I was intrigued to know that whether you could see it with your eyes, Aniki.
Do you mean the curvature sideways or from front to
forward,
back?
From front to back.
Okay.
I think so.
Oh, so you can see it, Aniki. Okay. I'll turn your sound back off again so we don't get the echo. Okay. Our bodies are the most amazing machines, for want of a better word, the most amazing mechanics. You know, the mechanics of our bodies are just awesome, absolutely awesome. And the way one part of our body compensates for another part of our body is just extraordinary. It's wonderful. It's miraculous the way our bodies deals with all the kind of things that happen to us. Excuse me, I'm just taking off my jumper. It's going from hot to cold here this morning, cold to hot. So that curvature in your spine, that curve in your spine, is a good thing. Oh, it was a good thing. Where it's compensating for something else, it's an excellent thing to have happening. But the thing is, what it's doing in terms of riding a horse is can you feel that your shoulders are kind of leaning forwards? Can you feel that connection between the curve in your spine and the shoulders forwards?
Yes, they are indeed hanging a little bit forward, my shoulders now.
Yeah.
Is there any connection to my back?
Yeah, fabulous. Don't try and change that. Because we're actually going to go looking for the root cause. How the effect of that on your horse is to drop your horse on their front end.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So as you're riding, if your horse is feeling a connection to you, then they too are curved over the front of their legs. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. That's what I was often, yes, that's what is happening. Uh-huh.
Ah, excellent.
Uh-huh.
So so we've got two things here. We've got an effect on our horse that we're wanting to change, and yet there is perfection in the way your body's produced that curve in your spine and the rounding of the shoulders. You know, there's a reason for it. So we don't actually want to change that, because if we change this on purpose, if I sat here and got you to pull your shoulders back and sit up straight and like a traditional riding instructor would get you to do, every time you get on a horse, you'll have to remind yourself to sit up straight, put your shoulders back, and there will be tension in your body to compensate for putting your shoulders back and sitting up straight.
Certainly, yes. That's,
so
that's
I come at it. I come at it differently. I come at it to the root cause. So what I want you to do is kind of smile at it. Smile at the shoulders that are curved a little forwards, and smile at that curve in your back. And feel for the rightness in it. Now, I'll explain what I mean by that. The rightness of it is that reason that it's happened in the first place. So just let your eyes smile a little bit as you feel that place in your back and your shoulders forwards. Very softly aware of the effect of all of your body. You'll feel yourself wanting to move a little bit, maybe even stretch. And if you do, then just go with it. But just pay gentle attention to your outward breath. Knowing that when that spine curved like that, it was a good deal. There, did you notice that your pelvis has changed that? You've changed the angle you're sitting in the chair, that your pelvis has kind of softened, your lower back softened a little bit, and your pelvis has a different feel on the chair?
Yes, that's what I noticed, indeed.
Yeah. So, good, aren't I?
I'm just trying to find a good position of my pelvis. Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm rolling it backwards, from front to back, just to find.
Yeah. There you
that
go.
Point.
I'm laughing, Paul. If this is your first experience of anything completely weird, here's a lady in Australia who can tell that you're moving your pelvis.
All right. Sorry.
No, I'm laughing about that. I think that's perfect. Now, as you've changed, you've had that little wriggle with your pelvis. Notice that your shoulders aren't so forward anymore. No. No, they're not. They're starting to come back.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Yeah. So imagine what
this,
Yeah, you're not even it's the see what's happening as you notice this, there's more flexibility in your pelvis again. And your
mm-hmm.
shoulders have come back even more.
Mm-hmm. Without pushing them back, indeed.
Yeah, it's all happening on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing is you're fixing the cause rather than trying to make it happen. When we, in a traditional writing lesson, when we get told to put our shoulders back and all that kind of stuff, then the tension in your pelvis would have you being pinged out of the saddle, popped out of the saddle. Whereas doing it like this, you're getting deeper into the seat. Can you feel that there's a deeper connection between you and the chair now?
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling, indeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, soak that up. Smile and let your attention wander up all over your body and notice what that feels like. Now, also notice that as you're paying attention to your outward breath, you can actually feel your spine breathing. You can feel your spine kind of moving. There's a flexibility and a movement in your spine
mm-hmm.
that's starting to come with your breath.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I do enjoy this work.
Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now, Paul, I'd like you to stand up and go walking around the room. Before you do that, I'd like you to walk slowly, still paying gentle attention to your outward breath
mm-hmm.
and being very aware of your body, smiling aware of your body. You know, I want that soft smile on your face, on your eyes. And feel your feet flexing on the floor. So really let your feet bend and move with
mm-hmm.
every step and really feel into that for me. And I'll bet Aniki, hang on, mm-hmm. I'm going to close Paul down and open Aniki up. Excuse me. And I'll bet he's walking differently, Aniki. I've got you open, Aniki. At least I think I have, yep. Oh, well, we can't hear anything, so I'll close that and open Paul back again. So, Aniki, you can call across the room and we can hear your voice. Is he walking differently?
Well, he's searching.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Yeah. It might take a minute
really?
Before you actually notice how different his posture is.
Yes, it's more straight up.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would have expected. Now, the beautiful thing is, Paul, the next time you go to sit on your horse, if you're, we're looking for the same relaxation that you were feeling in the chair, the awareness of your breath, the awareness of your horse, as well as the awareness of your own body. And the combination of the two will give you exactly the same seat that you just got in the chair. It'll mm-hmm. be automatic. It'll be there automatically.
Right.
So the first time you sit on a horse, maybe tomorrow.
maybe.
Yeah, well, tomorrow will be Sunday for you. Just be aware as you sit in the saddle, as you go to get on, and feel the difference and enjoy it and smile it and sit there for quite a while. Don't be too quick to walk away. Sit there with your horse and enjoy the change in your seat. Let your horse
right.
let your horse feel the difference as well. Mm.
I see what you mean. I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah. The key to a good riding seat, there's two things that are a key to a good riding seat. The first is our own self-carriage. The second is our horse's self-carriage.
Mm-hmm.
So our self-carriage is what you're experiencing now. You are either very close to it or in it. Your body is carrying itself in a yeah. When you're sitting on the chair, your body is carrying itself on the chair. It's not leaned over and expecting the chair to hold you up, if that makes sense. So if you were on a horse, you're not leaning over the horse and the horse having to carry you. I'm not explaining this very well. When we're in self-carriage, if the horse was pulled out from underneath us, we would still be standing up on the ground.
Uh-huh.
We would still be in balance. We would we would still be, our bodies would still be in balance.
Not depending on the horse.
Yeah. Yeah, not putting extra weight on the horse. Mm-hmm. And then when the horse is in self-carriage, his body is in balance and he's carrying himself. And when you have a person in self-carriage and a horse in self-carriage, it's a beautiful thing. Have a bit of a stretch too, because there's some spinal bones that are going to slide into place for you. Yeah, and we would like, a report, please, on what this feels like when you get back on your horse. I'd like an email, please.
Okay.
When you get on your horse for the first time, I want a report on what you experience and how your horse reacts.
Okay, I keep that in mind.
Doesn't have to be. It's not like homework. It doesn't have to be two pages. just a couple of sentences is enough.
Okay, okay.
That's all you're up for.
Okay, I will do that. Of course.
Okay, thank you for being such a good sport, Paul. To go first when you really had no idea what you were in for.
No, indeed, I didn't. I was completely blanco.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Susan Jackson, I'm going to open you up next. Now, you've had the good luck or opportunity to have in-person riding seat lessons with me. I can I can visibly remember your first one. We'd taken Magic down to the arena. We were doing a three-day clinic down there, and we had Magic down in the arena, and the transformation in your seat was gobsmacking, absolutely gobsmacking. So are you up for a little tweak today?
Yes, you bet. I sure am.
Okay. So let's take, turn your chair around so you've got your face in the back of the chair.
Yeah.
Got it. I didn't do this with Paul, but I'll talk you through this and we'll see exactly where you are. I want you to take your hands up to rein height on the chair back. It's on the back of the chair, just be gently holding the chair at rein height.
Yeah.
Now, that changed something. What did that change in your body? When you picked those reins up, something changed.
Yeah. Tense my shoulders. I think that's what happened.
Mm. Okay, so let's put the reins back down again.
Yep.
That was incredible. You just went woof.
Yeah, I did.
It completely changed the way you were sitting. Now, for those who've never met me before, because I can see we've got a few friends of friends here, what I teach you to feel for your horse, I feel for you when I'm working with you. So it's not weird psychic shit. It's just my feel is not constrained by distance. And neither's yours really, but most people don't actually want to use it by distance. It's just good enough to have it with your horse. So, paying gentle attention to your outward breath. And your seat's spongy. You've got a beautiful, this is incredible. Oh, go away, you rotten thing. I've got some stupid windows pop up that wants to, wants me to restart my computer. Go away. It would be easily 3 years since you had that seat lesson. And I can feel you're still in the right position until you pick up the reins. So your seat's still in the right position. There's a lovely feel to it. There's a lovely soft. As you breathe, you can feel the flexing of your spine as you breathe, can't you? You can feel that kind of sponginess in the connection with your riding seat. So let's explore what's happening when you pick up these reins, because that's intriguing. So okay, it's ignite herself. For the people who aren't familiar with Susan and her horse Ignite, Ignite was a brilliant and beautifully quiet, switched off, I shouldn't say quiet, a switched off trail riding horse. And Susan bought her thinking that that was quiet and then discovered that it wasn't quietness at all, that it was kind of dead inside. And Susan's beautifully woken her up and they've, well, at one stage it wasn't beautiful. Didn't you get bucked off?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that was what brought you in, wasn't it?
Yes.
And now they're just beautiful to watch. Ignite's alive eyes working with Susan is just lovely. And I I still remember a few weeks after your clinic, I met you in the supermarket with your husband, and you were just bubbling with joy, like oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah, I love my mare. I love her.
Yeah, she's very special. Okay, so I'm getting the impression that when you pick up the reins, there's tension coming up at Ignite, and that's translating directly into tension in your body.
Absolutely, so, Jenny. Yep.
Yeah.
I've experienced it when I just sat on her. I haven't ridden her for 3 weeks, but when I just sat on her, and I always just sit there and find my nice seat. And then I picked up the reins and her head came up and I felt the muscles, because I ride bareback, and I felt her muscles tense. I thought, oh, God. So okay. I need help, yes.
Okay, so for you, we're going to, you're going to notice the tension in your own body, right? So keep it. Okay, let me just explain this for the people who are new to this work. We have physical feel is one of the ways of feeling for our horse. And for people with strong physical feel, and Susan's one of them, she can actually feel her mare's tension in her own body as a communication, as a way of communication between the two of them. So instead of waiting for her mare's tension to come up, Susan's going to be able to notice what happens in her body before her mare actually gets tense. It can be anything from a split second to whole seconds ahead of what the mare's actually doing. And what this allows, what this deep connection allows, is a conversation. So, Susan, you're going to be having a conversation with Ignite.
Yeah.
As you pick up the reins. So, I'm going to describe what you'll be able to do with Ignite herself, and then we're going to go through a simulation of it here. You're going to pick up the reins in the center of them, and you're going to just start, and you just at any point that your body starts feeling any tension or any lessening of that beautiful spongy feeling. So you hold that beautiful spongy feeling that you've got in your seat. And as soon as you start to lose that, that's at the point you're going to pause and allow Ignite to feel into what you're doing. All right?
So, Jenny, when you say pick up the reins in the middle, you mean at the buckle,
yes.
Figuratively
yep.
speaking, at the buckle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, so you're just going to pick them up at the buckle and hold them in front of you.
Right.
That's the first hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the second hand you're going to use to just start sliding down. You'll put your second hand at the buckle, and you'll just slowly slide down those two reins, which actually closes
yep.
them. You know, you're getting closer to her mouth
yep.
or her halter, whatever you're riding in. And at any point that you feel that lovely sponginess in your body going, you're going to pause, feel into it, and you may let it go or not. You might just pause and wait. Your sensitivity to your mare is so strong now. Most, if this was a beginner, if this was someone new to my work, I'd say take it off, back off and wait. Wait for the lick and chew. You've got more sensitivity these days, so you can pause and feel into it and know in your own body, whether you need to take your hand off and rest and wait for the lick and chew, or whether you can just sit there and wait for her to think her way through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But, you know, I'm doing it here in the seat, on the chair, and I can feel the tension coming even as I start. So I'm going to have to
practice this. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So back to the spongy, back to the sponginess.
Yeah.
So at what point as you're doing it, sitting in the chair, at what point can you feel the tension coming up in you?
When I bring my second hand up to start moving down the rein.
Okay, so pause there and wait. Mm. So pause with your second hand there. Soft eyes, Sue. Because there's a rightness in this. She's been protecting herself. She's been protecting her mouth and her head from all these wankers who have been banging on her and crashing on her in all those years that she was trail riding. And she needed that tension to protect her body and her soul. Ooh,
oh,
gosh,
yeah.
That's a hit.
She's so braced. And I'm glad you reminded me about the soft eyes, Jenny. Thank you.
Yeah, because it's very easy to look at this as a problem. This isn't a problem. This is, I have a sense of wonder about our ability to connect to our horse on such a deep level. This is just another opportunity for that. Oh, gosh, that feels expansive. And makes me teary. There, something really profound has just changed.
I heard your beautiful magpie singing in the background. Made me smile.
Ah, yeah. I think I've got a young one. Whoever it is, he's very bold and very strong.
This is amazing. Oh. Because I can even feel the tension in my legs.
Yeah.
Sort of switching on and off, switching on and off. So I really do need to take this slowly.
Yeah. So while Susan's working her way through this, because she's doing a superb job by herself, because she understands feel for her horse and understands her own feel for her horse, so she doesn't need me talking her through it. But for those of you who aren't familiar with this work, I can't remember where I was going with that. So often we go too fast for our horse. And there's no point in moving forwards in tension. Well, I suppose there is to some people. But all that's going to happen if Susan moves forwards into that tension is she's creating a stiff, tense horse who isn't moving properly, whose joints are going to be susceptible to damage. And it might just get her bucked off again. I can't imagine that anymore, Susan, because, you know, your communication together is is so deep these days that I can't imagine that happening. But theoretically, if you ignore them for long enough, that's the kind of thing that happens.
Exactly the right word to use, ignore, because I've got to be listening all the time. Thinking and feel and feeling. Mm.
It's just a soft, awareness, isn't it? It kind of, to me, it's a commitment to them. An intention to be aware of them all the time. So what stage are you at now? There was a profound change there at one point. What stage are you at now when you lift the rein up and start putting your second hand
I just tried it again. So I went back to having my hand down, then I lifted the rein, lifted up my left hand, my second hand, and it was much better. So that pausing helps.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to sit on her and just practice that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
See what I feel.
Yeah. Perfect. Absolutely perfect, Sunshine. And we'd like a report back on how that goes.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenny. That's really
You're
great.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, I'm coming back to you, Aniki. Are you there? I can't hear you, Aniki. Have you got yourself muted? Okay, can't hear you. I'll move on up to Kim. Here we go. Okay, Kim, how would you like to be a guinea pig? Are you there? Ah, everybody's disappearing. Okay. Jeff, I'll come to you. That's lovely. I've just had Aniki open up, which sounds as if she's... Are you there, Aniki? We still can't hear you, sweetheart. So I'll close that background, that noise off again. Can't hear Kim. Jeff's opened up. How would you like to be a guinea pig, Jeff? No, he doesn't want to be a guinea pig either. Wonder what's going on here. Have I got the right setting? Yeah, I've got the right setting. Okay, can't hear you. Oriana, how are you, Sunshine?
Yep. Sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once.
Okay, got a straight back, got a straight chair?
Do I have a straight chair? We've got this problem, Jenny, with the business of my legs. Yeah, I suppose it's straight enough. I can sit, oh, no, it's not that straight. It's on wheels. And all the other stuff is too low. I will go and fetch a stool, but that's backless.
Okay, the wheels won't matter. I'm working on a chair with you.
It's the way that the chair tilts downwards.
Oh, okay, yes. Yes, that will cause you problems.
What have I got? This has been a problem, if you remember the last time we had a go at this. But the length of my legs means that most of this stuff doesn't work. I'll go and get the stool. Hang on, back in a sec. Thank you.
is very cute. I'll be able to edit out this later. I'm going to open you up again, Jeff. Can you hear us? In the chat room, there's a chat room on the side. Just write whether you can hear me. Sometimes the two-way communication really wants a phone.
Right, we have a stool. I'm sitting on a stool.
Okay. I was just talking to Jeff, so getting him to type in the chat room, but if he could hear me. Okay, so paying gentle attention to your outward breath, sunshine. Lovely movement in your spine.
Yeah, with your breath.
You notice that your breath, your spine's actually moving with your breath.
Yeah.
Good. Take your attention to your seat bones and that little bit of unevenness in them.
One's forward, one's back. Perpetual problem. I think the right one is forward.
Okay. So, again, just like we were talking with Paul at the beginning, there's a rightness to this. So we don't want to change it because if we reposition it to even up our seat bones, then what happens is you have to be repositioning and evening them up every time you get on your horse, every time you walk, every time. And that's all struggling unnecessarily. So there's a rightness to the way that your body has looked after itself and compensated for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So let your eyes and your mind soften into that rightness. Holy snapping turtles, feel the energy of that, Oriana.
Yeah, I can feel it.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Oriana had a hip replacement, didn't you?
Two hip replacements. One of them now is a hip resurfacing and the other one is a standard hip replacement.
Yeah. I was reading an article the other day written by Cynthia Cooper about how some of the odd flares in a barefoot horse should actually be left alone because they're compensating for changes in their body as they've got older. It was an interesting thought. Now, notice that the energy of that rightness is actually, your pelvis is actually moving. Are you moving it or is it moving by itself?
No, it's been moving by itself. I'm not moving it.
Yeah. I've been in a situation where I actually remember one day thinking, oh my God, has somebody got their hand on my leg shifting it? and I'm looking down going, holy dooly, look at this. It was like somebody was repositioning my leg. But once it got there, it stayed there. It was lovely. Weird stuff. Now as you breathe, there's actually a release, a spinal bone release happening in your upper back. Just let yourself have a bit of a stretch through there. It's really interesting because there's a thing called the Lovett-Brother relationship that chiropractors are taught. I'm not a chiropractor, but have some chiropractic knowledge. And this Lovett-Brother relationship says that for every spinal bone, there is a corresponding spinal bone somewhere else that is like a twin and is impacted in the same way as the first bone, and that you can work in one place and relieve somewhere else because of this relationship between the two bones. Okay, Ariana, I'm thinking that you actually need to get up and walk around a little.
Okay.
Very slowly, very consciously, flexing your feet into the ground. And for you, feel the beingness of the earth underneath your feet. I know you're walking on a floor in a house, but feel through the floor to the earth herself. And
yeah,
feel the life in her.
That is something I've noticed.
Yeah, feel the life in her. Feel for the life in her under your feet. And then let your feet flex all the way through. As you roll your feet through the step, feel all the bones in your feet flexing. And can you feel that there's a direct relationship between your feet and your pelvis?
Between the relationship between my feet and what?
And your pelvis.
Well, at the moment, as I say, I have got a pain in the right-hand side lower back, around the hip area.
Okay, so pause and soften your eyes. There's that energy running really.
Oh dear. If it's not mine, it's going to be vigilance.
Ah. So, Ariana, so for those of you who aren't familiar with this work, Ariana's physically feeling, the pain in her horse's hip. And now she's identified what that is. That pain she was experiencing will either be almost gone or gone. Has it gone yet, Ariana?
No. It probably means I need to do some work on him. I have a new toy, which I haven't got out yet, which is a sort of massage, electric massage mitt thing. So
does the idea of that get the pain to go? Because the connection work is that when you get the right answer, the pain's going to go.
Yeah.
Because it's a communication. It's a conversation with yours, not a...
No, that's pretty much gone.
Well, there you go. So you have to get
to play with first with the massage mat.
There you go. Okay, so now sit back down again. Oh my goodness, you've got even sitting bones. And can
this
you feel the...
Great, Jenny, because... I rode
Sorry.
Not yesterday, but the day before yesterday, and I noticed that for most of the time he got his back up, which I thought was quite good.
Excellent.
Not been riding him every day because of all sorts of other things going on, but
it's a good deal to not ride every day.
Yeah.
Especially in these early stages, because you're increasing his capacity. So you're doing minor to build muscle. You work it and then rest it, and in the rest, the you know the muscle fibers actually lay in a new layer.
Yeah.
So if you ride every day, you're unlikely to be building muscle. So to build muscle every second or third day is a better deal.
Oh, that's interesting. No, the last time I rode him, he was feeling quite good. Which, I mean, it's a sort of, we go out for half an hour, and a lot of that is, if I said, ride and snack. Because he doesn't enjoy going out unless he's also allowed to have something to eat.
Well, what's in it for him? There you go.
Exactly. And so, you know, there's not...
It's a lovely thing. Hang on, I'll wait till your clock finishes, because there's an important point about the snacking.
No, I mean, there's... you know, it's a case of doing things together rather than me completely telling him what to do.
Yes, beautiful. But here's another reason for the snacking. When he puts his head down to graze, it's actually stretching across the top of his back. And in this time when he's building up his back to carry you better, then stretching over the top of his back during a ride can be an incredibly good thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
So it's actually relieving tension on his back to, even though you're still sitting there, it's relieving tension on his back to graze with you in the saddle. So it's a brilliant thing. Paul, as your horse gets settled with this new riding position, allowing him to graze a little, and stretch across the top of his back as he develops different muscles because of the better way that you're riding. That's a useful thing to do. Okay, top stuff. Well done. Good on
Thanks,
you.
Jenny.
Let's see if we can find someone else. Kim, I'm going to come back to you again, Sunshine. Because we had you earlier. Are you there? Oh, it's like I can hear something way off in the background somewhere. Let's open Aniki back up and see if Aniki's there, because she was there earlier. Are you there, Aniki? Okay, it's not working. Okay, Jeff can hear me, but we can't hear you, Sunshine. That's a shame. Okay, so what we're going to do is, for the people on web call, and the people that will be coming in on recording, we're going to all of us go through feeling our way into our seats. So everybody, if you'd like to take your attention to your outward breath. We've had a lovely variety of seat work today too, thank you. So I'd like you to just expand your awareness, allow your awareness to expand into the rest of your body. For you ladies, you know when you're sitting down with a skirt and you kind of slide your hand down the down your backside, down your butt, and you kind of tuck the skirt under when you sit down so that the skirt sits flat. Just allow yourself to move your pelvis forwards in the same way, just a tiny little bit. Okay, that worked for some people, but didn't work for everybody. I want you to arch your back a little, just arch your back a little bit. And then take the arch out of it. And allow your pelvis to kind of, somebody needs to scoop their pelvis forwards a little bit on the chair. There. I'd like everybody to think about, to smile a little bit and with your eyes, make your eyes soft, smiling and soft, and know that your body's, that anything that feels uneven as you're paying attention to your body, there's a rightness around that. You know, your body's been compensating beautifully for something. We were told to sit on our pockets, and that's actually incorrect. You need phenomenal stomach muscles to hold the writing position sitting on your pockets. There's a place called a neutral pelvis. And I'm just going to catch you to very, very slowly with awareness. Take your pelvis from an arched, slightly arched back and feel how wrong that feels. Feel how it doesn't feel good to have your back arched. And then slowly take the arch out of it. Okay. Paul, I'm going to open you back up again. Are you still sitting on that chair backwards?
Yes, I am. Can you hear
Excellent.
Me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm not quite sure what's happening with Aniki's because I can't hear her.
She's still here. She's trying to reach you, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird that it was working before and it's not working now. Pick your hands up and just gently hold the back of your chair.
Mm-hmm.
And paying gentle attention to your outward breath, just a little bit, slowly push on the chair and feel the way that pushing on the chair actually pushes you deeper into the chair. So your seat's actually getting deeper as you're pushing. Can you feel that?
Yes, I can feel that, yes.
Oh, that is high five. High five from Australia to the Netherlands.
Thank you.
Now, pull a little bit on the back of the chair, slowly, and pull.
Mm-hmm.
And feel the same thing. Can you feel that spongy pushing into the seat bones?
Mm-hmm.
When you're riding, you know how back when we were taught to ride, our teachers would yell across the arena if they were good teachers. They were trying to get us to have, you know, spongy hands and gentle hands and sensitive hands. That's what you've got there because of your position of your pelvis and your spine. You've actually got spongy, gentle hands.
Uh-huh.
Good hands have nothing to do with the hands at all. They have everything to do with the pelvis and the spine. That sponginess that you feel as you're pulling on the chair, just imagine that's the movement of your horse. I'll use the word pulling. They're not pulling, but it's a movement of the horse through the reins. And that spongy feel where your spine and pelvis are actually giving to the rein, they're moving with the horse and the reins. That's what good hands are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So can you feel, now I want you to, we're just going to finish up with just something cute. Well, very powerful, but cute as well. Now I want you to picture your horse in your mind and smile. Did you notice that you actually went deeper into your sitting bones?
I'm trying to smile.
Yeah. So smile and think of your horse.
Mm-hmm.
And feel what happens to your seat. Feel what happens to your connection to your seat.
Smiling into my horse, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to present.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you do this tomorrow, or that's if you get to have a ride on Sunday, I want you to notice that the smile, actually, let's try it a different way, frown. And notice what happens to your seat. Can you feel everything has got a little bit stiff?
Oh, yes, it does. At the same time as my face goes stiff. My seat is doing the same thing.
Excellent. High five.
Uh-huh.
So now smile and think of your horse.
Mm-hmm.
And notice how your seat is deeper. It's more connected to the chair in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And when you smile, when you're on your horse, you'll be more connected to your horse too.
I keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
It's fascinating how much difference a smile can make. Okay, well. What a lovely morning. What a lovely way to do lessons. And thank you, everybody, who were guinea pigs for making such a lovely contribution. And interesting that they were so different. That they were so different. Okay, so that's it for us. Have a wonderful time with your horses and report back to me.
Yes, I will.
We want to hear how Oriana goes with Vigilant. We want to hear how Susan goes with Ignite. And we want to hear how Paul goes with his Icelandic.
So funny.
Yeah, let me just check the chat room and see. Okay, there's nothing for me to attend to there. Wonderful. Okay, lots of love to everybody. I'm actually going to be holding a live event on Feel for Your Horse in the next week or two. It might be a couple of weeks away. It's been coming for ages, but actually the rightness of the timing is very close. So you'll get to hear me more than once a month for a little while. Okay, lots of love to everybody. Hang on while I open everybody up. Lots of love to everybody. Bye, and see you next time.
Bye, Jenny.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key.